Welcome to another Superhero Film Core with myself, Alex Kirschenbaum, joined by Armani Barone in Chicago. Hello, Armani.
Hey, guys.
We're here to talk about the second cold weather superhero movie this year after Deadpool, the massive smash success. This one is Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. That is the name, not Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, which would have been like a much better title. All they do is add a little S and a little period, and they're good. Didn't do that. First mistake.
Well, you know, it's assumed through the V that there is a versus.
I know, but just call it versus. You know, like, I don't want to say Batman v Superman. I want to say Batman versus Superman. I want it to be a lowercase versus. Yeah. Anyway, okay. So we have a lot of thoughts on this movie, which we just found out is having a disastrous second weekend, which one could have predicted from the horrible, horrible reviews, although the fan notices have been sort of mixed and not nearly as negative. This is in range for being a kind of huge asterisk success in that it'll make a lot of money internationally and it might not clear its budget domestically.
I can see why. I mean, definitely the honeymoon phase is over with this movie and a lot of people are just kind of giving their honest opinion. But that being said, what would you say is like your rating for Batman vs. Superman?
My star rating for it would be 2. I do the 4-star rating personally, including half stars. So my scale is like 0 stars, you know, half a star, 1 star, 1.5 stars, etc. So I'm putting this at a solid 2 stars, which is bad, but like not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. Kind of bad.
I'm going to put it at 1.5 because it was a movie. Like, literally, I'm just, at this point, maybe giving credit because it's a movie.
Because people worked really hard on it and employed thousands.
Yes, like, at this point, I just feel
including
like...
including Chicago people, because they filmed some Chicago stuff.
It got finished. I don't even know what else to... There's so many things that just don't work in this movie that I'm just, like, giving points for everyone showing up and doing their jobs, I guess, at this point.
So... Batman and Superman get tricked into fighting each other to a draw by a paranoid schizophrenic with severe Tourette's.
It's actually super accurate.
Sweet. No offense to paranoid schizophrenics or people with Tourette's or paranoid schizophrenics with Tourette's, but that was who Jesse Eisenberg was, I think, basing Lex Luthor on, right? Like, that something in that range, because, like, I don't know what else he was doing.
You would think, like, given the fact that you were able to sum this movie up in basically one sentence, that it'd be a lot easier to follow. But the way they kind of set up the story makes everyone's motives seem so convoluted that it's like, I don't understand why anyone wants to do anything. Like, I understood that people were concerned about Superman's methods for saving them because it was so destructive and he was battling, you know, these huge monsters and killing thousands of people. And that was kind of Batman's motivator for, you know, having this beef with him in the first place. But it just seems like it did need to go to the point of, like, where Jesse Eisenberg is talking to the state representatives. We don't really understand their background besides the fact that they care about what Superman does. I don't know, the whole senator from Kentucky that we had to deal with, her name is Holly
Hunter, Academy Award winner Holly Hunter. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, what, she could have not been in the movie. Like, there was no reason for her really to be there.
Well, I get the principle of trying to police Superman because he's this all-seeing, all-powerful demigod who Jesse Eisenberg keeps calling a god and keeps going into this religious allegory stuff with him. But yeah, like they don't want him to have absolute power and to get to decide who lives and who dies and to, you know, himself try to police the world. You know, like, what are his motivations? What's his background? What's his, what are his qualifications for the job, basically, of being Superman? I guess they're trying to, like, give it a real world spin, which is very hard to do for a Superman thing, but I like that they're trying, because I thought the end of Man of Steel was so stupid because they were pretty much, this is another sort of offensive thing, they were pretty much 9/11-ing Metropolis. Like, they leveled the entire city, like, just him beating up Zod. Like, he just throws him into buildings, And then he ends up, like, you know, like, strangling him in Union Station at the end there. But, like, but yeah, like, they kill thousands of people as he just basically just trying to kill one guy. But, like, many, many people die. And you see, like, buildings collapsing. Lawrence Fishburne playing Perry White almost dies in the first one. And then in this one, Bruce Wayne almost dies. It's just, like, this whole I get why principally they want to stop Superman, because, like, this Zack Snyder Superman, like, is very dangerous.
It seems to be to no point that there is, like, no one ever says, well, okay, well, if he didn't, if those people did die, yes, but this other person was going to be the cause for a lot of other people dying. Like, I don't know, there doesn't seem to be, like, it seems like the movie's fighting really hard to push this agenda that Superman needs to be policed without anyone ever just bringing up the fact that, like, they need him to be there for these outside forces. Like, that they clearly cannot battle. Like, as we saw at the end when they're fighting the huge monster, did they ever give a name to
it's
it?
It's Doomsday.
Was it?
Yeah.
Doomsday, so, but they never they never say that.
Well, Jesse Eisenberg says it's his Doomsday a couple of times, but, like, unless you know who Doomsday is, you don't really know what's going on.
I was told, like, during the movie, like, my boyfriend leaned over and was like, oh, that's Doomsday. But never did they say that's Doomsday, which I guess clearly that was, like, you know, an insider for people who follow the storyline / comic / history of Superman.
Well, Jesse Eisenberg says, like, meet your Doomsday or something. That's about it. So he says it one time, yeah.
But, for example, like, when the military decides to, like, try and, you know, go against Doomsday, they clearly aren't a match. So if you're going to come at Superman and be like, oh, you're killing all these people, and clearly you're incapable of fighting this evil force, then, like, why are you even, like, bitching to Superman about it? Like, I don't know. It just, it seemed kind of annoying as, like, a huge plot point and driver of the entire story for that to be, like, such a center focus when it's, like, such a, like,
It's
not an issue that the audience is going to be divided on. We're all going to be like, no, Superman definitely needs to save the day. So it's not like you're, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a bit of like fitting a square peg into a round hole kind of thing, where it's just like they're trying to graph this serious conversation about, like, Superman's
like absolute power and, like, what does that mean? But, yeah, like, none of us are going to, we're not going to feel. I just feel like we're hit over the head with this concept so much with superheroes that it's really not bringing anything new. Like, every superhero movie is like, with great power comes great responsibility. Yeah, we got it, totally. Like, please, like, I don't know why, like, it just didn't feel that original.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, people have been questioning whether or not they should be whatever superhero they are since time immemorial with these movies. And this one is trying to do it in a new way, I guess, so I could give it props for that. But yeah, like, boring Senate hearing scenes aren't really gonna galvanize the comic book base, and normal people don't care either because it's not super exciting. Although they do blow it up real good, right? So I guess that part is exciting.
Literally. I mean, also with that, I thought the entire movie could have shaved off 30 minutes easily. Going back into, like, kind of the things blowing up, as you mentioned, just Lex Luthor's overall plot really didn't make any sense. So your ultimate goal is to basically kill these people, make it look like it might have been Superman's fault, which fuels Batman's desire to fight Superman. Like, that was your plan A. Really doesn't make any sense.
Right, right. Like, so he wants to use the destruction.
It doesn't make sense to me that Batman Yeah, like, it doesn't make sense to me that Batman would even try to fight Superman. Like, it doesn't even seem like a logical, like, I don't know why he thinks that Batman would even stand a chance necessarily.
Well,
even though he does give him the green kryptonite, that doesn't seem like that should be your plan A.
Yeah, like, yeah, his scheme is to pit Batman against Superman because he thinks that Batman's going to be, he wants to make Batman upset that Superman is policing the world or whatever. He wants basically Batman to take a more vigilante approach to Holly Hunter's big hypothesis, which is, like, Superman, you know, has to be controlled or whatever, and, like, we don't know his motivations and he's an alien and etc. etc.
Also, can we get back to, like, why do Superman and Batman even have this kind of beef? Are we at this point, you know, of, like, a measuring contest? Because, like, I don't understand, like, for example, when Batman is trying to steal the kryptonite from Lex Luthor Corporation, why does Superman stop him? Like, that would have been in his best interest for Batman to acquire said kryptonite. Why? Superman just happened to be there. Sorry, there's so many things in the movie that just really don't make sense from a standpoint of, if we're assuming everyone is highly intelligent and capable, like Lex Luthor is one that is a super genius.
Right.
Why would you be able to go to his house at a party, walk into his server room, and steal information off his computers? That seems insane. You're telling me all your top secret servers are right next to the kitchen where all your staff make the food for, like, the dinner parties? Like, what are you talking about?
Also, like, Batman, there are a couple times when he goes down there, because he goes down there a couple times with his, like, recording device that he uses to try to, like...
And there's clearly no reason for him to be down there at all. Yeah. Like, at all. Even if Lex Luthor did not know that Bruce Wayne was Batman, he's still a billionaire who has a lot of software, military weapons. Like, he has reasons to want to steal information from you regardless.
They're rivals. The professional villain. Rivals.
Yeah. Yeah. So this makes literally no sense. And once that girl goes down there one time to check on him, that should have been a very obvious red flag of, like, hey, like, you need to go down there and see what he's stealing.
Also, like, at one point, he looks behind him to see if he's being followed, and he is by Superman, and he just doesn't see him. He's just a little out of his eyesight or something, but he just keeps going. Then another time he looks to see if he's being followed again, and he's being followed by Wonder Woman, but he also doesn't notice and keeps going.
It's also a glass fucking room. Yeah. They can all see you plug something in.
Yeah.
They can all see your lips moving when you're talking to Alfred. Oh my God.
And people are working down there. It's not like, you know, like, even if he wasn't being followed, there are people down there, besides, like, the assistant, who also, I think, followed him, you know, to spy on him. Like, it's, well, no,
like, I don't know. Several people checked in and say, what are you doing? He's like, oh, nothing. Like, oh,
and then they're just like, oh, okay, cool. Go about your business, Bruce Wayne.
Or, like, he's like, I'm looking for the bathroom. Like, she was like, the bathroom's upstairs. I'm like, I would have been like, follow me. Like, you can leave this secret room that you shouldn't be in.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, it's upstairs. Like, I'll see you there presently. Like, yeah.
He's like that one sketchy, like, person you go to high school with who would, like, hang out with all the coats, and you'd be like, hey, the bathroom's in there, man. He's like, no, I'm taking a second to steal everyone's iPhones. Like, I'll be out in a second.
I feel like, for people listening, if they haven't seen the movie, none of this makes sense. But at this point, whatever. Hopefully they've seen it, because we're kind of jumping around. But, so we have that set up. And another reason that the plot is such a frustrating thing, really quickly, is because, you know what, actually, no. All right, we set up the first half of the movie. Let's delve into the actors and some of the technical things we have issues with, and then let's get back to the plot, because the plot is some kind of something.
Yeah, the plot is a mess.
Yeah.
But okay, let's go back into actors. How do you feel about Ben Affleck as Batman?
You know, I actually liked him as Batman. Like, I thought he was the second best actor in the movie, and we're going to talk about the first best actor in a second. He was charismatic. He had, you know, the important cleft chin that is really clutch.
I was actually like, why? What? Okay, realistically, in the bat suit, like, why is his mouth exposed?
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know. They just
like,
always do
if
that.
If anything, like, given that there's gases and other things that could be going into his mouth, like. Whatever, yeah. We'll move past that, but yeah, great point.
Roger Ebert actually was, he mentioned, I think when George Clooney was cast as Batman, so he was like the third Batman in a theatrical Batman movie, and he mentioned, you know, at this point, I think Batman is basically just a suit and a nice chin, and as chins go, George Clooney has a pretty nice one, so he's an okay Batman. It's kind of where I'm at with Ben Affleck, like, he's got a solid chin, so. But he was pretty good dealing with all the Batman tech speak and being charismatic as Bruce Wayne, hitting on Wonder Woman, that kind of stuff. It was good. It was, you know, it was a badly written movie, so there wasn't a ton that he could do with all the dialogue all the time. And he wasn't amazing or anything, but he was competent.
Yeah, he certainly was not the worst part.
Yeah, exactly. He's not the worst part of the movie. I like that they have the voice modulation thing, that it's, like, electronic, and so it distorts his voice. Like, that actually makes sense, instead of, like, having the silly whisper, which I think was the weakest part about Christian Bale. It was, like, he whisper yells a lot, and it's silly, right? But Affleck...
Well, side note, if Christian Bale had not done that whisper quiet voice the last trilogy, then would they have done the whole, like, voice modulator to this movie? Probably not.
So I guess we can thank his horrible acting choice.
Yeah, no. They definitely, in my opinion, they definitely built upon that idea. I'm like, oh, wait, how do we make it, like, slightly less weird? Let's just make it, like, an electronic thing that does it.
Yeah, which sounded pretty cool, I will say. It sounded kind of badass. My biggest thing with Ben Affleck, honestly, is that, like, I just, he's not a smart guy. I know he's not a smart guy. You know? You can, like, Bruce Wayne is supposed to be a super genius. And Ben Affleck, I'm not saying he's dumb, but he's not, you can just, he's not a genius, right? He's not a genius. And you can tell. He doesn't radiate the intense intelligence that Michael Keaton did. Or Christian Bale. And George Clooney was a bad Batman, but he's a smart guy, so that wasn't really an issue with him either.
How did you feel about Superman?
Henry Cavill is, he's just a body. Like, he doesn't really have a lot of charisma.
Whole, I was just thinking the whole time, like, I'm just looking at a bowl of oatmeal right now. Like, really offering nothing. Like, I mean, he's cute. He's got, you know, classic Superman looks. Beyond that, I'm just like, I'm just, what am I? You, he could have been a cardboard cutout.
Yeah.
That had subtitles. I would have felt the same way.
Why didn't they go to...
Absolutely no chemistry with Lois Lane whatsoever, which is a shame because Amy Adams is such an amazing actress that, like, even she couldn't... I mean, she couldn't save the chemistry between them that does not exist.
Yeah, she's a total babe, too. And so I'm glad they had her in a bathtub. But, like, it was so horribly color-corrected that it just desexualized it because it was, like, this desaturated, like... blue black kind of thing. It was like blue black and white were the colors.
Oh no, it's a definitely a lot of the choices in this movie as far as like color correction, just overall camera angles, pan choice, just everything was just not where it should have been. Before we get into that, let's get right back into Alfred.
That would be the best actor in this movie, Jeremy Irons, who killed it. He was the best Alfred. I didn't even know I wanted Alfred to be as involved in the story as I did, I guess, when I saw him. He was better than Michael Caine, even though Michael Caine has a hilarious Michael Caine Cockney accent. And better than Michael Goff, who I've always liked.
How did you feel about Alfred's role kind of being changed in this movie? From kind of before, he was kind of more kind of a grandfather-ish figure to Bruce Wayne, always felt like. Like, yeah, he was kind of the butler, but always was kind of, you know, kind of a moral compass in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and he was never like, he was never super techie. He wasn't really helping in that way. He was sort of giving him advice as a man. It was really cool that Jeremy Irons, for instance, projects a lot of intelligence. Like, he seems like he could be running this show. And he really was Batman's Robin in this movie. He was the sidekick. It was just cool to see him so much more involved and to see him sort of be on the level with Batman in a way that he wasn't before, where he was just sort of, yeah, like a nice grandfather, you know? Whereas this guy is like an assistant coach, kind of.
I did and did not like Alfred's more kind of tech-savvy role. I mean, if he's going to be, like, repairing, like, things like the Batmobile, then he should not be bringing you orange juice. Like, I'm sorry. Like, if you're going to give me this level of responsibility in your life, like, I'm not the maid now. Like, come on, bro. Like, are you kidding me?
That is fair.
At what point are you, like, going to hire someone else to fill the gap? Because there's no way he's taking care of the entire fucking manor and, like, doing all these repairs. Like, come on.
Well, they destroy the manor, right? He's, like, it's, like, the manor's been bombed out. And he's in, like, a guest house.
In general.
But, yeah.
Like, I'm not doing housework if I'm over here, like, loading guns in the basement.
Right. Which Batman has in abundance in this movie. Like, huge guns. And, honestly, I didn't mind. I was totally fine with him shooting people.
Wasn't that always, like, a thing of, like, him being anti-gun?
Batman in the comic books had guns for a couple of years, and then I think in the early 40s, Bob Kane decided to give him this rule he doesn't kill people. Bob Kane or Bill Finger, either one, but those are the two main guys behind Batman. And since then, that was his policy. That's been the idea. And in the movies, after the Tim Burton movies, he hasn't killed people until now. But in the Tim Burton movies, he totally kills people. And then he didn't have a gun, though. Point being, it's weird. It's a new change. But there is a precedent for him having guns. And people can do whatever they want with Batman. So I didn't really mind it.
Going into our next leading male, Lex Luthor. I like Jesse Eisenberg's interpretation of Lex Luthor. I think he took away a lot of the sexiness that I felt like Lex Luthor kind of offered as a character. I don't know the actor who plays him in Smallville.
Michael Rosenbaum.
That's when I became actually a huge fan of Lex Luthor. I think he kind of portrayed more of his complexities as a character better. like, you kind of got more, like, why Lex Luthor was kind of a tortured super genius who was evil, but, like, kind of good on the inside, and was kind of, like, this person who would maybe not have been so evil if other people hadn't, like, snubbed him throughout his life that way. Like, it felt like Lex Luthor became bitter, not like he was always inherently evil.
So you're saying that Eisenberg's Lex Luthor was always kind of on 11, like, he was always this intense psycho, whereas Rosenbaum had nuance and depth. Like,
there just seems to be no depth to Lex Luthor, and I don't really buy into, as far as Jesse Eisenberg's portrayal of him, or as the script, you know, allowed, any kind of, I see that he's kind of power hungry a little bit, but I don't really get that he's, like, really motivated by anything, except kind of being, like, an asshole. I don't know. I felt like in this movie a lot, we don't get to make any kind of real connection to the characters. Like, everything seems very static, very, like, one-dimensional. Like, I don't care. No one makes me care.
They made a choice with Lex Luthor that neither of us agrees with, and a lot of audiences don't seem to be into either. But I think I get what they were trying to do. They were trying to basically Mark Zuckerberg him, right? They wanted him to be, like, a crazy version of Mark Zuckerberg in The Social Network, which is why they, instead of making Lex Luthor, like, in the past he's been sort of more of a cool, calm, and collected business badass, and now he's sort of a nebbishy startup billionaire kind of guy.
Yeah, that's a great analysis.
But they're definitely trying to give him that vibe, right, of, like, you know, like, the head honchos of, who's the guy that was ousted from Groupon, like the Groupon CEO, right, or, like, that kid that bought the Wu-Tang Clan's album or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, the little rich pharmaceutical company guy. Yeah. The little asshole guy. But, yeah, they want him to be kind of like that this new generation of rich kid that's insanely rich and, you know, wears a T-shirt and has, like, a little stress ball and has, like, a big open office space and a lot of – looks like the Google office or the Apple office or whatever. Like, that's the idea.
It's like affluenza, basically. I get with that point, but still I just don't think it was appropriate for this movie. Like, you can make these characters all you want, but if it's not appropriate for the movie we're watching, then there's no point in directing them, putting them at that direction.
I didn't mind it as an idea, but they didn't really pull it off that well.
Also, I mean, he was feeding old men Jolly Ranchers. Like, what do we draw the line here? This is getting out of control.
That was weird, right? And, like, what was he exchanging? What did he give the old man? Like, what kind of benefits? Like, there's supposed to be an exchange, right? Like, a trade. Like,
well, yeah, that's also, like, the thing. Like, so he's manipulating our U.S., at least some representatives from our government into allowing him access to these classified material.
Right. You know,
like, the ship and the Green Kryptonite. But it seems that what he's promising them is that he'll bring Superman to heal, but I don't think that's even what they really wanted, right? They just wanted an open discussion. So, like, at what point, why are we giving him these resources?
He's trying to curry favor with Lex Luthor, and we don't know why he wants to get rid of Superman.
I mean, we can assume, I guess, it's some corruption of power. Maybe he wants more power as a senator. Who knows? They never really explained
any of
these interactions with people. Like, they don't explain motivations properly at all.
Yeah.
Last but not least, let's just get into Wonder Woman really briefly. As briefly as she was in the movie. Cool, fine. That's all I have to say about Wonder Woman at this point. Like, whatever. Like, I hope for more. I was hoping for a different body type. I know I don't want to, like, judge anyone's exterior based on Gal Gadot's performance. She's great. But I wanted to see, like, a really strong woman, not like I'm watching a supermodel just wear armor again.
Yeah, it is a little, it's not as bad as, like, Angelina Jolie in Salt kicking, like, 50 dudes' asses when she, like, weighs maybe 80 pounds and, you know, is, like, 6 feet tall. There's lots of, if it was a normal person and not, like, a super alien or whatever, like, yeah, but because Wonder Woman is such a fantastic creature, and, you know, not, like, a normal human bound by normal human rules, like, I don't mind the fact that she isn't, like, Linda Hamilton in Terminator 2 or something. But traditionally Wonder Woman in the comics has been, like, way curvier. And I know people are thin-shaming Gal Gadot for this movie or whatever, but I think that'll pass. It's like a social media flavor of the month kind of thing. I thought she was fine. And I like that they made her foreign. I like that they gave Wonder Woman an accent. It gave her an exotic kind of tint. And she was cool when she was in the movie. She's just not in the movie that much, but she was pretty fun. The one thing that bothered me about her, honestly, was the Hans Zimmer sting that he used, like the music cue for her when she appears in full Wonder Woman regalia. It's so fucking, like, over the top and silly. Like, it just takes you out of the whole movie. It's supposed to be cool, and it's just, like, a huge turnoff. You're like, man, like, did they really, is this the final, like, score choice that they wanted to use for this? Like, oh, boy.
A lot of the soundtrack and just, like, overall, the score just did not seem like they were trying, or they just were, like, going to the cliche well for a lot of the sounds they chose.
Yeah.
Like, even transitioning into the scene where Clark saves Lois from drowning,
That's another thing I have.
It's really hard. It's just really hard for me to...
My question with Lois Lane and Clark and Superman is, does he always know when she's in trouble? Does he always know when anyone in the world is in trouble? Or is it just her? Because he, like, if he was really a super mega Superman, he would be saving everybody all the time, right? You know, like, every couple of seconds, there's a murder somewhere in the world, right? Or maybe even more than that. So, but he always knows when she's going to die. You know, even if she's across the country or whatever. When she gets pushed off a building, for instance, he knows exactly when she got pushed off the building. Does he stalk her? Is he, like, tapping her? I mean, not, like, I mean, I know he's tapping her, but I mean, like, is he, like, wiretapping her?
That's true. Like, even going into a desert rescue at the very beginning of the movie, that kind of, like, was a catalyst for all these preceding events. There's no way for him to know that she's in trouble. Like, she's across the globe. That you couldn't hear anything. You just, like, sense it. Like, oh, she didn't text me back.
Yeah, right? He does have, like...
Well, wait, they were tracking them. But he didn't know. Did he know this? CIA was... No, she was... She didn't even know.
She didn't know.
Okay, wait. So, remember there's a tracker from the CIA.
In the camera, yeah.
But then she's like, she genuinely did not know. So that means that Superman probably genuinely did not know also.
But maybe he knew that she was in trouble because he knew that she was seeing this shady guy or whatever, white Portuguese figure.
Or maybe he overheard, because, you know, he can, like, have super sensitive hearing. Maybe he heard someone talking about it. But then you're going to let her go into a situation knowing that the CIA is secretly involved? I don't know. Their relationship also is questionable.
Yeah, I always wonder about the Superman sex thing, but they don't really talk about it. But I just, like, does he...
No, not that. I mean, the aspect that she chose, after that desert scene, she chose to hide a bullet from him, which would have been like, hey, you need to know that Lex Luthor's planning to, like, try and kill you.
Oh, fuck, she did hide the bullet. That's right. Why?
Like, I'm sorry, but if someone's trying to kill me, you should probably tell me.
We haven't gotten to, like, the really juicy stuff in the second act of the movie where things really fall apart. But let's do that right now. So... The big thing is the scene that's in the trailer where Batman goes to another desert site. We don't really know. He's tracking this kryptonite crystal. He's in the desert. He's hired some mercenary badasses to help him load the kryptonite crystal into trucks. And then they turn on him, and it turns out that they have, like, Superman logos on them. So I guess they're supposed to be...
We're led to believe that, like, Superman has now destroyed a city somehow, and, like, Batman's now trying to acquire a green kryptonite. He finds it, but then it turns out that, like, basically what amounts to the spies of Superman have found him.
Yeah.
And it was all set up.
Right, they turn on him, and then he gets abducted by those, like, flying cricket things, right? That beat him up and knock him out.
Yes.
And then they like, hang him up, and then Superman appears to confront Batman or whatever. He kills Batman's two henchmen that are strapped, like, strung up next to him. Then he takes off Batman's mask in a dramatic reveal that it's Bruce Wayne. And then he says, "You took her from me." And then it's a dream, it turns out. Batman's just falling asleep at his desk while downloading that information from the hard drive. And then it turns out that he gets a vision of the Flash yelling at him something about how he's right and Superman can't be trusted. No, he says he can't be trusted. He doesn't say who he is. And then he goes away. You don't know who he is. I mean, I know he's the Flash. You probably know he's the Flash, but, like, normal people don't know.
We actually do not get this reveal until way later when he sends the drive back to Wonder Woman. And she reviews the files of, like, all the metahumans that LexCorp has, like, managed to find. Then we get a 2-second glimpse of the face of the Flash. So his face wasn't even clear in that little, like, time warp thing that came out. So we actually didn't know who that guy was. I didn't even connect that it was the Flash.
Oh, I knew it was him just because I knew the actor was Ezra Furman, who plays the Flash. And I also, like, he was in the Flash, sort of that red, the Flash suit. Kind of. They messed with it. But it was, like, basically the Flash. But the point is, that didn't actually happen either. That was also a dream. And so then Batman wakes up again, and he's at his desk, and he's fallen into, I guess, a super deep sleep that was a double dream level deep sleep. So then the rest of the movie, though, for some reason, Clark Kent knows that Bruce Wayne is Batman. Lex Luthor knows that Clark Kent is Superman and that Bruce Wayne is Batman. But none of this information has been revealed. Like, how do they know this? I don't know. Because the reveal where Superman finds out that Batman is Bruce Wayne didn't actually happen. And that's the only time that secret identities are even swapped. Like, otherwise, we don't. There's no sort of sense of, like, anybody finding anything out. It's just, they just kind of know.
I mean, we know that Lex Luthor knows that who Superman is because when they kidnap Lois Lane, they realize, oh, this guy's definitely going to come. They know who Lois Lane is. They know. I mean, you can put that together.
Well, no, they don't. They don't know that. They know that Superman loves Lois Lane. They don't know that Clark Kent loves Lois Lane. They're, like, dating. But we don't know how public that is.
If you were tracking Lois Lane to then find Superman, you would know all the other men that come around her, period.
Yeah.
So if Clark Kent's the only guy who, like, it seems to be going, hanging out with her normally, then, like, one can assume that, hey, we should investigate who Clark Kent is. Which is what they do, which is why they kidnap his mom, because that's how they know that he's Superman. Oh, my God.
No, okay, that's a good point. They do know, but I don't understand. You never see them piecing it together, but that's a good point.
We still don't even know them based on that, like, who... So we can assume that Batman does not still know Superman's identity.
Superman totally knows who Batman is. But the big caveat with that is, like, Superman should have known that from the beginning because Superman has X-ray eyes. Superman can look through anything. So, like, so maybe that's how he knew who he was, in which case that scene where he takes off the mask, even if it's a dream, doesn't make any sense because Superman doesn't need to take off a mask to find out who somebody is. Unless Batman has some sort of, like, blocking thing that's, like, laced with kryptonite so that Superman can't see through it, but I don't think he does, right? So the first time that Superman sees Batman, he should be able to look through it and say, oh, it's Bruce Wayne. That's interesting, you know? Like, but in the context of the movie, they don't have that, so we can assume that he doesn't know until a certain point when he understands, but we don't know when that point is because they don't show it. So none of it makes sense.
Well, Superman cannot see through lead. So that can, one can assume that, like, if Batman's suit was made of lead, then he can't see through it.
Good point. Okay, that's right. Okay.
Fair enough. Which is, like, maybe the worst thing to not be able to see through.
Yeah, but, I mean, beggars can't be choosers. I mean, he didn't pick his powers, you know. But he gets to see through some stuff. Like, good for him, you know. He gets what he gets.
Good for him. Good for him. He's going on top.
It's more than I can see through, so touche, Superman, you know.
More than I could see through this entire movie.
Nice.
Let's just hop into cinematography.
All right, good.
Go ahead. It was way too fucking dark. Let me just start there. Like, half the... Especially the scene where we see that major chase between the Batmobile and the crew of the white Portuguese.
Yeah.
That was just... I had no idea what was happening at the time. Explosion. Why am I... It's like they shot this whole movie with, like, one lens and refused to change it because – or, I mean, I guess that chase was CGI, so they refused to just pull – I don't know. But basically that chase was really confusing.
Yeah.
They made a lot of weird choices with a lot of the angles. I felt like I was too close to the action all the time.
Yeah, it's like on their own, some of the shots are cool looking, but taken together, edited together as a sequence, it's very disorienting. It's really hard to tell what's going on. And that's not even the most confusing sequence. Because the most confusing sequence would be the Doomsday sequence. Where, like...
Which is also too dark. I have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, the whole time you're like, what is going on? Who is what? Where are we? Who's punching whom? Did the whole world explode? Are they on they're like on an island or something? I don't know. It was, it was so underlit on purpose. It was so weird.
Well, yeah, I mean, I kind of think the one with the logic of, like, well, I mean, if you can't see things and it looks more real, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was just, like, I don't know where anyone is in relation to each other. How did Lois Lane survive any of that?
Unclear.
How did you feel about the choreography of this fight scenes overall?
Go on.
I'm trying to find the strength.
Trying to find the words.
I mean, some fight scenes were just like were super boring, hard to watch. For example, the dream sequence fight scene in the desert. One fight scene I actually really enjoyed is when Batman goes to rescue Martha in that warehouse. That I thought that was very well choreographed, and I felt like the camera really worked well there, and it was actually really engaging.
Mm.
As far as the Superman-Batman fight scene, I thought it was really, I mean, if you ask me if Superman and Batman fight each other, I'd be like, no, because Superman is just going to laser him and that'll be the end of the
entire thing. Right, that's the whole thing about that fight. It's just like, man, Superman can just kill him immediately, right? He doesn't want to this time, so I get it.
He does not want to. So the only reason that Batman actually survived was the sheer fact that Superman just did not want to kill him.
Yeah.
Which is like, why even fight if like the only reason you're not losing because that person chooses not to beat you.
The whole setup with that fight is so annoying. Can we break that whole plotting of that ending thing down?
Let's just break that needs its own like separate, almost separate discussion. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine, so, two sentences. Jesse Eisenberg kidnaps Lois Lane and lures Superman over to this tall Lex Luthor. LexCorp Tower.
Right.
When Superman gets there, Lex Luthor is like, hey, dude, like, I got your mom. In some weird picture reveal kind of way that seemed kind of, who takes Polaroids anymore? I don't know. Just show him an iPhone picture.
But they're brutal pictures. It's like anyway. Brutal torture pictures of his mom. It's like, man, that's kind of fucked up. You know, you're watching this, and you're like, I thought this was like, even if it's a dark comic movie, like, that's like super fucked up. I don't know. Like, I was just like, this is some Saw type shit right now, like this abduction, you know, yeah, these pictures.
Unnecessary, you don't need to prove that she's kidding. I don't know, it's a weird choice.
Yeah.
For like, especially for Lex Luthor, who would have an iPhone 10 by now.
Right.
Given the movie. It would never take Polaroids, but anyway.
He's eccentric, though. He's eccentric.
So, you know?
Hipster Lex Luthor. Hipster yuppie Lex Luthor.
Hipster.
With Tourette's.
So, going from that point, Lex Luthor basically says, like, hey, you've got an hour to kill Batman, or I'll kill your mom.
Right.
There we go. Okay, so Superman flies over, this could have all been cleared up a lot sooner.
Right.
If he had just been like, hey, listen, they kidnapped my mom.
He just has to talk faster. He's just like, listen, Bruce, we don't have to fight. I don't want to fight you. If I fought you, or if I really wanted to kill you, you'd already be dead. And Superman's just like, or Batman's like, shut up, like, and just punches him a couple of times and tries to shoot him, you know, which is never going to work. Like, it was never going to work. And every once in a while, he'll, like, dose him with kryptonite to punch him harder.
I was like, why? Yeah. Also, like, why the fuck are you drawing out this fight? Like, if you have any, like, advantage over Superman, this is your time to kill him. This is the only chance you're going to get. Like, why would you even risk, like, I'm going to, like, a bare-knuckle brawl?
Yeah, just, like, blast him with kryptonite.
The choice of that suit, I'm like, there's, what kind of suit do you think you can wear that can protect you against Superman's punch? Like, I don't know what you think could happen.
So dress like the Stay Puft Man in, like, knight's armor, basically. It's like, really? Like, why?
Oh, my God. Oh my God. All I kept thinking was that he looks like I thought it was like Hello Kitty armor, to be honest. It was just like too cute. It was metal, but it was like really puffy, way too big. Definitely was like impossible to fight in.
Yeah, it's like,
oh my God.
It's like a kid like strapping like pillows to himself when he wants to like withstand punches from a bully or whatever, you know?
All Superman needs to do is throw Batman into a body of water, he would have fucking drowned.
Yeah,
like just be exactly. All the weight on him. Like, whatever.
And they're surrounded by, like, a huge lake that, I guess is, like, they're across, like, Metropolis and Gotham are, like, across the way from each other, right? So, like, they're surrounded by water. And they're on a small island, actually, too. So, yeah, easy fix. But also, like, he could have just punched him and been like, hey, man, look, like, Lex Luthor's got my mom. He wants me to kill you. Like, let's work together and defeat him. And, you know, that's it. 2 seconds. The fight's over. And if he really wanted to kill him, he just lasers him in the face and he's dead. So,
like, going back into this. Can we get into so Batman finally overpowers Superman, kind of rendered him unconscious for a few seconds,
which is ridiculous and would never happen.
Magically, Lois Lane hitches a helicopter ride on over to where all the drama's going down. What helicopter driver is going to be like, yeah, you see that shit going down over there, bring me there? And he's like, okay. No, what, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now?
And like, how much money does this newspaper have that they can afford a helicopter pilot that would be willing to do that too, right? Like, that guy's been making some sweet bank to be down for that.
Very early on, I mean, it's pointed out they don't have the budget to do this.
Right, but then they just do it.
Also, Lois Lane could have not been there and it would not have made a difference. Like, there was no reason for her to go.
Oh, at the end when he has the... Yeah.
Like, if all she did was show up when Superman is on the ground saying, Martha, they've got Martha.
You have to save Batman.
And it's like, who's Martha? He's like, why are you saying that name? And then Lois Lane shows up. It's like, oh, it's his mother's name. Like, he couldn't just say that one line. She did not need to be there.
Yeah.
They could have saved money paying Amy Adams for that scene, cut it out completely, and just had him be like, that's my mother's name, the end.
Well, I mean, but that whole setup was so dumb. They could have saved a lot of time by not even having that setup. Also, like, what the fuck was that? Like, so Batman stops fighting Superman because their moms have the same name? Like, that's the reason?
How, you know how many people in the world are named Martha? Are you kidding me?
It's a
you
popular
think I,
name.
I, like, stop in the street every time someone says the name, like, Alex. I'm like, why do you know that name? Are you kidding me?
Right.
Just, like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It was amazingly ridiculous. They're like that, and then they're friends. Just because their moms have the same name, they become friends. Like... Batman principally is trying to defeat Superman because Superman, like, is this all-powerful guy that works with total autonomy that can, like, police the world, you know, with just his, like, opinion, basically, like, to go off of. And, like, that's the thing that, in the movie, Batman, like, takes issue with. So, that hasn't changed just because their moms have the same name. So, why stop fighting? You know what I mean? Like, does his core belief about what's going on with Superman change? No, I mean, I guess the counter is like, oh, well, like, after, like, they stop fighting, Superman and Lois explain that, you know, Lex has been trying to, like, get them playing off each other or whatever and trying to stoke the flames for this fight. But, like, basically all he's been doing is, like, making Superman look a little guilty, right? And, like, sending Batman, yeah. Threatening, newspaper clippings in the mail. But ultimately, like, Superman did kill thousands of innocent people with that fight. Like,
end of the day, he did do these things. I mean, he didn't really have to work that hard to stir the pot.
Exactly.
That's what, like, also is kind of weird.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And let's go back into Lex Luthor's plan B. Which should have been plan A.
create an all-powerful, like, super demon to kill Superman. That does kill Superman.
Like, technically that plan succeeded. Like, what?
Right, like, that's a way better plan.
I just don't know why he just didn't do that in the first place. Was he buying time at that point, or, like, what? Like, that's the only argument I could foresee making sense.
Yeah, total mess. Doomsday in the comics is an evil alien that comes down and kills Superman. In the movie, Lex Luthor, like, bleeds.
He's a giant baby, basically.
Yeah, he makes a giant super baby in the Kryptonian ship by, like, bleeding onto Zod's corpse and then sticking Zod in some goop. And then the ship, like, makes a super creature or whatever for him based on that.
It's, like, the worst, like, ship password ever.
Like you were saying in our text prior to this, like, they just make him a big orc. Like, he looks exactly like the orcs from Lord of the Rings. Like, the design is identical until they give him the spikes, which he has in the comics, but he also has, like, a cool spiked crown. People that sort of follow DC Comics even a little bit, and I would read books on DC Comics, and then I would actually read the Batman DC Comics, but didn't read a lot of Superman. I did a little bit, so I knew who Doomsday was.
As a person who did not read any of the comics, I was super confused by this giant orc baby thing. I mean, basically, it was, like, recycled, like, animation files in, like, the last Hobbit movie. I swear to God.
Yeah.
Like, it looked identical.
It also kind of looked like the cave troll in the Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah, like, it was definitely, like, not, like, any, like, I don't know if the same VFX studio worked on it, but they did not add any originality to the look of this of Doomsday whatsoever.
That would be Weta. Now let's look that up. Weta Digital Superman. Yes, they did. I guess that's not so
they
surprising.
Did the same. Yeah. So they basically just opened up that fucking recycle bin and just said, "Hey, what can we throw?"
We already have these animatics. Like, let's just throw this in here. We're pretty ready.
even looking at him in the comics, they didn't even go in the direction of the comic. So, like, they really went out of their way to use recycled material.
And he looks cooler in the comics. Like, don't fix something that's not broken. He looks like a badass in the comics. Also, he's a cooler character. Anybody that knows the comics at all knows that he kills Superman. And then after that, instead of bringing Superman back right away, they bring four kind of Superman-esque characters. DC did, instead of bringing Superman back for like several years, and then they eventually did bring him back to life, but it took time. And in this one, they're bringing him back to life at the end of this movie, so it's like they kill him, they have several emotional scenes, or well, they would be if you cared, and then he just comes back.
If you cared, yeah. I mean, yeah, so that's the thing about this entire fight, like, there never feels like there's anything really at stake.
The dirt is rising off his grave.
Like, with our hero, so it's like, whenever, like, oh, Superman's dead. No, he isn't. So, like, no one cares about that funeral scene at the end.
I did like that, even though I knew he was going to be fine, I liked when Batman got stuck in his seatbelt, you know, in his little ship or whatever, and Doomsday's about to, like, to kill him, and he's like, oh, shit, because he, like, just can't unbuckle his seatbelt, you know? And so Superman, or Wonder Woman saves him. That was pretty funny. Because they never show that, you know? But, like, shit, Batman would have a seatbelt, right? And seatbelts are not foolproof, so. It seems like they rushed everything with this movie. And, like, they just threw in so much shit and, like, just to see what would stick. And they had to, like, establish the Justice League setup. And while they were doing that, they also decided to kill Superman in this movie. And it's just, like, there were way too many things going on. They should have definitely toned it down, keep it way simpler, clarify and strengthen the reasons that Batman and Superman are principally against each other, I guess, and if they wanted to go that way, which they didn't have to, but whatever. And then, just made it cleaner. The one thing I will say, actually, I was thinking about this the other day, was that Warner Brothers animation in the 90s, you know, had the Batman the Animated Series thing, and they also had a Superman animated series. It was a, like, surprisingly cool crossover episode they did. They had three episodes of a crossover, and they made that into a little, like, direct-to-video movie. But they have, you know, Bruce Wayne using his wits against Superman, and Lex Luthor and the Joker and Harley Quinn are all involved, and there's no Doomsday. But they also have Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent set up as romantic rivals with Lois Lane, which I thought was, like, a really clever idea. And they also have Bruce Wayne as a professional rival with Lex Luthor, which is not a clever idea. They don't really go into in this movie. It's just like the comic book in a 60-minute animated movie, like the short. Let me rephrase. In 60 minutes, like, they did a much better job of telling a pretty complicated story of Batman and Superman being sort of rivals and then becoming allies in, like, a much cleaner way. Like, it can be done and it has been done, and that is something that people should see. Not so much this. But,
yeah, that definitely.
Good.
Yeah, definitely. Even the entire time I was watching this, I felt like, I felt like the story could have been told much cleaner, much faster. I mean, I felt like we didn't get enough of the material that we needed to kind of connect the dots. But then also simultaneously got more fluff than we needed.
Yeah.
Like, things that could have been, you know, shoved into, like, a quick one-minute conversation was brought into, like, four separate scenes, like, the corruption with, like, the state representative making the deal with, like, Luthor. Like, we didn't need that Jolly Rancher scene. We could just be like, hey, do we have a deal? Deal. Done. Like, why do we need...
They're trying to, like, make him creepy or whatever, but...
We got it. We already creeped out and annoyed. We're just trying to get through this movie at this point. Anna, we hated on this movie pretty hard. Was there anything you felt they did right?
Yeah, I will say I didn't mind Batman, and I'm down for him to show up in a cameo in the Suicide Squad movie, which I'm definitely going to see. Just because I like you, DC, like, you've got me, I will follow you sometimes. I'm less inclined to go to a Marvel movie, just generally.
The only thing I am excited to see is Aquaman.
Really? Over Wonder Woman?
Because I love Jason Momoa. Yes. Huh. But aside from that, I'm not looking forward to any more DC if they're going to continue with the way things are going.
I'm down for some Suicide Squad, though. I mean, that looks pretty cool. What do you think about it? Have you seen the trailers for that?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely excited for Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
But they are currently doing reshoots, so that makes me worried.
Oh, no.
I don't know. Well, maybe this movie should have had reshoots, so maybe it's a good thing.
I've heard that they cut this down, and there's an R-rated version, a longer R-rated version, that's going to be dropped, I guess, on video in July. So.
Oh, that, what's the girl's name who's also in Hunger Games?
Elizabeth Banks? I don't know. Who do you mean?
No, in the original, in the R-rated version, she's completely cut out, and apparently she had a major role.
Oh, Jenna Malone.
Yeah.
From Donnie Darko, yeah, and Stepmom with Julia Roberts. I wonder who she is. It's too many characters, though. At least they realize that, too. That's kind of funny. I'd heard so much shit-talking by critics that I was excited to see what a train wreck it was, and it, while it was... At the end, train wreck, the first half was okay. So, I mean, you know, it's still a bad movie, but it's not horrible. It's like, for the curious, it's fine to check out. It is a little boring, though, so maybe watch it on video so you can skip through. Well, you can't skip through because it's so densely plotted, except the plot doesn't make a lot of sense anyway. So you actually do have to watch the whole thing. Yeah, but whatever. You can still take a lot of. You can pause it, you know, as you need to, and watch it in chunks. I think that's probably the best way to attack it if you want to see it. Which it sounds like audiences are going to do because it's people are dropping like flies.
Yeah, they are. So with that being said, I just hope that we learn from this one and DC gets it together and stops allowing Zack Snyder to write and direct movies.
Yeah, he should go back to commercials where he belongs. Sorry, Zack Snyder. Film core.